Praise the Lord. It's very good to be here again tonight. And I must say, are you Chris?
Yeah.
Oh, so nice to have you. Praise the Lord. Yeah,
was
very.
That your son?
I'm sorry?
Was that your son?
Yes. Yeah. Amen. That's the way it is. Yes, praise God. Oh, we may be a little flock, but the Lord is here. Amen. Praise our God. Oh, he's so good to us. Amen. Well, it's been quite a thing here today and yesterday and every day. You know, every day is an opportunity. And we never quite know how the Lord is going to work. It is just a wonderful thing to be able to take a day in the morning and put it in the Lord's hands and say, God, use this day. Bring it about the way you want it to be. And, you know, help me to be receptive. Help me to be there. Help me to be that person that's in tune with you. And praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. We have such a privilege to serve the Lord. You know, I looked at the date, and I couldn't help but remember August 3rd. Oh, wow, just a few years ago. Quite a few years ago. I was 8 years old. And back home in my hometown church in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and it was a Sunday night. Not too many people there that night because most everybody had gone to camp, and somehow my family hadn't gone, so there we were. And I had no thought as how God was going to work that night. But praise the Lord, there was a visiting pastor there, and you know, the Lord used him. He preached about the lake of fire. He preached about hell. And you know, something happened to this little girl. I never imagined how God was going to touch me that night. But I'll tell you, despite the fact that I had just been pretty hindered as a child and thinking, oh my, you know, I don't know about this religious stuff, and you know, I'm thinking I'm not going to be like mom and dad and do all this and that and live that strict life and serve the Lord like they do. But you know, God got a hold of me that night, and oh my, just every silly thought I'd had in the past just disappeared, because all I knew is I needed to get right with God. I needed to come to him. Oh my, and you know, nothing could hold me back at that moment. Oh my, I forgot all about my silly thoughts and all my fears and all the things that had prevented me from coming to the Lord before that moment. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't wait to get up there to the altar, we called it, and pour out my heart and cry out to God. And my, what a moment that was, because he filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost that night. He came into my life, and you know, nothing has ever been the same. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's a wonder what God can do. You know, he takes our lives, and we might have been out there doing all kinds of crazy things. Maybe we were living in rebellion. Maybe we were a drunk. Maybe we were on drugs. But oh my, the Lord knows how to take our lives and reconstruct them and make something beautiful out of our lives. He knows how to change us. He knows, yes, how to make us his own son and daughter. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, no one else could do that. You know, I've been told that, you know, if you've got a drinking problem and you had it for years and you're drunk, that you know, nothing can really change that. You know, you can, you know, try with your willpower and, you know, through others helping you to, you know, to get through that and not go back to it. But you know what, I've seen lives completely changed for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen people who are addicted to cigarettes immediately healed from that addiction, all immediately set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I know that he can do that. He can take those things that have hindered us and held us up and prevented us from serving the Lord. He can take those things and he can make us a new creature in Christ Jesus. He can change all that. And praise the Lord, with that comes hope. Because, oh my, you know, there's nothing like being right with God. There's nothing like knowing that all is well deep inside. And, you know, I don't have to worry if I'm, you know, going to die the next moment, because it's all in God's hands. You know, it's a wonder. And only God can do those things. And, you know, just thinking about putting things in God's hands, I remember I was a little older down the road a little bit, and no one in my family had ever flown an airplane at that point. And here I was a college student at that point. And anyway, I wanted to go to a seminar, and it was that I had to fly in order to do that. And like I said, you know, we just had not done that, my family, and neither myself, of course. And anyway, you know, I was a little bit apprehensive and didn't quite know how to think. But you know what? God gave me a dream that night before I was to take this trip. And he just let me know that if we're living for him, our life is in his hands. And, you know, nothing's going to take us out unless it's his will, unless it's our time to go and be with the Lord. And, you know, that just gave me such a reassurance in my heart. And ever since that time, I've just known, you know, we're with God. And, you know, he takes our lives. He orchestrates the details. He puts it together. You know, so, you know, we give it to him and just realize it's going to be okay. We're serving him. He's faithful. He knows how to keep us. Oh my, he knows how to work in our lives. He knows how to bring about the changes that need to come and open up doors that need to be opened and close doors that need to be closed. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to put it into the hands of the Lord Jesus and know it's going to be okay. You know, he's not going to let anything happen to me. The angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. So it's going to be okay. You know, we're serving the Lord. And it's all up to him. Praise the Lord. We can trust our God. There is none like God. There's none so faithful as our God. So praise the Lord. You know, he takes us and he changes us. No, by he knows how to take off all the little edges that need to go. He knows how to reform us. He knows how to make us new creatures. Praise the Lord. There's no one like our God. And what a joy. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to serve him. I'm so glad that the Lord spoke to my heart one day. I'm so glad for that moment when he filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Like I said, nothing has ever been the same since that moment. You know, the next Sunday they baptized me in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. And oh, praise the Lord. Again, yes. What a wonder. What God can do. How he changes us. How he puts it all together. And we're so thankful. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight. I spoke with a woman. Her name is Mary. She asked me to pray for her. I'm going to pray for Mary. And yesterday we had the privilege of visiting Pastor Steve and Teresa here in town. And anyway, we prayed. Brother Tim was with me. And we prayed together. And we're going to pray again for Brother Steve and ask God that he would be healed. He had a stroke 2 years ago, and he still is impaired on his left side, but we serve a God who can do all things. Amen. And we're going to pray here tonight as we begin and ask the Lord to have his way. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord. We know we could do nothing without you. We know it's you who gives us breath. Oh God, you are the one that made us. And oh God, we could do nothing without you, Lord. I just pray, oh God, that you would have your way in our hearts here tonight. I pray that you would talk to us. I pray that you will give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that you would disciple us and help us, oh God, to know what thy word does declare, Lord. Speak to us, God. You know where we are in our journey here on this earth. I pray that you would direct us, that you would talk to us, that you'd move in us, that you'd change us, that you'd motivate us, Lord. And oh God, we bring Mary before thee. You know her circumstances. You know her need. I pray, oh God, that you would provide for her. I pray that things would change according to your will. I pray that you bring order into her life. Oh God, I pray that you bring faith into her life. God, I ask that you would move the mountains that need to go in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. And God, I pray for the Rovics too. I pray for Pastor Steve. I pray that you would heal him, Lord. I pray, oh God, oh Lord, oh God, that he would begin to be able to function on his left side. Oh God, we bring him to you, Lord, and we ask in the name of Jesus that there would be a great change. Oh Lord, for you could do all things. There is nothing too hard for you, Lord Jesus, and we bring this before thee in the name of Jesus. Ask you to move here. Ask you to talk to our hearts. Oh God, lead us, guide us, show us what we need to see. Use this word, I pray, for thy name's sake, for thy kingdom's sake, for all of us, Lord, for we're pilgrims, we're strangers on this earth. Oh God, we need you, Lord. We need direction. We need hope. We need, oh God, understanding in thy word. And I pray that you would work in us tonight in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, help me, Lord. Give me the words. Use me for thy name's sake, I pray. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. Oh, you know, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And, you know, we could talk to him. That's pretty wonderful. Indeed, it is wonderful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just a little message for Sharon in Singapore, and just want to tell you, Sharon, I'm almost done with your request. I just got to print out a few scriptures, I think, yet, and it'll be done, so please bear with me. Okay, I've been doing this document for Sister Sharon in Singapore, so praise the Lord. With the Lord's help, amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Well, we've been studying in 1 Corinthians, and we got to chapter 5 last week, and now we're going to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. See how the Lord will direct us here tonight. Praise the Lord. We know that there were many problems in this church at Corinth. Paul had established this church, and you know, when you read of it in the book of Acts, you know, we just know the Lord was using it. The Lord had done a work there, and so on. But some years have gone by, and obviously by the time Paul is writing this epistle to that church at Corinth, then, you know, there's been some problems that have developed. Oh, we've been talking about some of them. He noticed, you know, they had a problem there. You know, some would say, I'm a Paul, I'm a Apollos, you know, Paul baptized me. And somebody else said, well, Apollos baptized me. And it was kind of like there was a contest going on. And of course, considering all of this, Paul looked at this and he said, you know, in other words, I'm paraphrasing, you know, what does it matter? You know, it's not who baptized you, but, you know, the importance of being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, because of all of this, he considered them to be babes in Christ because they hadn't really grown in the Lord like they needed to. And there were problems. They were carnal. In other words, you know, they hadn't got to that place where their thinking was spiritual. So he called them carnal in that third chapter, and he mentioned that there were problems like envying and strife among them. And again, this contest that's going on, you know, I am of Paul, and someone else, oh, I am of Apollos. And of course, Paul had founded that church, and Apollos had come later and worked with these people. So anyway, all of this was going on. And then, oh my, in chapter 4, it just seems like there is quite a judgmental attitude there, a lot of criticisms of Paul and all that kind of thing. So, you know, again, you see attitudes. They're not really spiritually minded. They've got all this, you know, intellectual reasoning or whatever, all this bickering, is conflicts going on. And lo and behold, as we were studying in the 5th chapter of Corinthians here last week, and actually the week before, you know, there was another problem that came up, and this was rather serious. Somebody in the congregation had taken his father's wife, and oh my, you know, it was kind of like Paul was appalled over this. I mean, that's not a usual thing even among the Gentiles who were out there not knowing better. And the thing is, it was their attitude too. They did not, you know, have a repentant spirit about this. They had allowed it in the congregation and they were letting it go. It was excused. And from everything that Paul had heard, it wasn't right. It wasn't right. It needed to be corrected. And so he's telling them that they need to deal with this problem. And he even talks about removing this individual for the sake of his soul, actually. And so anyway, you know, there's that problem, you know. And he talks about, you know, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. They had allowed that into the church. And what happens? You know, it's happened in this world so much at this moment. What do we see at the moment? We see a lot of carnality in the churches. A lot of things that are embraced and endorsed that are not scriptural, that are not biblical, that are not right in the eyes of God. And that's what happens. That's why we need to adhere to the Word of God. That's why we need to take it to heart. That's why we need to let the Lord deal with our souls. Because otherwise, if we allow these things to grow, you know, maybe one little thing, you know, at the first, and it doesn't seem very big. But, you know, pretty soon, one little thing can lead to 10 more little things. So it seems. And then even more, and pretty soon, without knowing it, everything is off base. And you've allowed all this stuff to come in. And as Paul said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So what can happen is eventually everything is leavened. And we know in the scripture, leaven is compared to sin. So that happens. That happens in churches. And here there was this problem in this church at Corinth here. And so, yes, there were needs that needed attention. And Paul is bringing these needs out so they might be corrected, so they might get back to that place where the Lord was working in a mighty way in their midst. But here we are. We're going to go to the first 1 Corinthians chapter 6 at this moment. And, you know, lo and behold, there's another problem. So here it is, verse 1 here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He writes, he says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." And oh my, see, he's, you know, this is another problem that's causing great concern to to Brother Paul here, who, again, was the one who established this church. And, of course, you know, God had used him in mighty ways to even have understanding of God's word. But here, there was a problem, another problem. And it seems like, you know, as we read a few more verses here, you know, I think somebody, well, they had gone to law against a matter, you know, against their brother. And, you know, Paul is seeing right through this. You know, we're supposed to be an example of God's ways, of God's love. And, you know, if we've got all these things going on, then how is the world going to see us? So, yes, there was a concern. He goes on to say, verse 5 here, "I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren?" You know, none of you, not even one person there that, you know, can see through this and give good judgment. And, oh, yes, this is pathetic in the eyes of Paul. You know, this shouldn't be. You know, you should take it upon yourself. Surely there's somebody among you, even somebody who's not all that well esteemed, that should be able to give you the mind of God in this matter. But he says, "But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers." So he says, now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Oh my, so, you know, to be defrauded is to be taken into deception or by fraud. And so what all was happening here, and we don't have specific details, but, you know, they've gone before people that are not Christians, are not believers, and brought their case, and they're coming one against the other. There should not be that kind of friction in the Church of the Living God. Oh my, no, that shouldn't be at all. But they had not come together and prayerfully considered the matter and come up with that which was needed, the answer. And praise the Lord, I'm so glad we can get down on our knees and talk to the living God. Wow, he has the answers for every situation. You know, he can straighten out the biggest of messes. But somehow, you know, the thinking was wrong here. And they were kind of messed up. And you know, they just were going about everything pretty wrongly, it seems like. So here is Paul writing this letter, this epistle to them, and showing his concerns. And so I don't know, you know, if it was a property conflict or some kind of other problem, but regardless, you know, they should have settled it within the body of believers instead. But they had gone to legal counsel for the answers instead. People that do not know the Lord, in other words. So he goes on to say it in verse 8. "Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren." So, you know, there were consequences to this, you know, and whatever was fraudulent here and whatever was coming out, all the consequences, you know, I mean, it wasn't a good testimony, that's for sure. That's for sure. So then he goes on to say, you know, verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You see, there is something that a lot of people have forgotten. It's just been kind of covered up over the years, you know, that leaven that comes in and, you know, covers up things that matter. The thing is, Jesus Christ came to this world to save us from sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, there's not one of us who could say that we're without sin. Because, yes, that's human nature. But praise the Lord, God sent his Son. He put on flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins. So we do not have to wallow in our sins. We didn't have to live under these conditions. We could be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, and go down in the waters, a baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. We don't have to live in sin. And the thing is, we must not. We've got to get serious in our lives. Because bottom line is, sin does not enter heaven. Oh my, I'm so thankful that God has made a way of escape. I'm so thankful he got a hold of me, little girl, 8 years old. And, you know, I was old enough to know, you know, that I had an attitude and you know, I did things that were naughty and all this and that. But praise the Lord for conviction. When all at once, you know, we sang that song, "Open our eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Open my ears, you know, I want to hear." And praise the Lord, it's God who moves on us and opens up our eyes, our spiritual eyes, so that we can see our great need, so that we can be convicted of our sins and come to the Lord Jesus, who is so willing to forgive us our sins. If we confess our sins, oh my, he is willing to just forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you see, it means that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We've got to, you know, bow that knee and say, "Lord, oh, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Oh my, I've been doing this and thinking that way and going here and going there and, oh my, you know, doing these things. And yet now I see and I realize that it's sin." Oh, the big cover-up is unveiled. So all at once, that spiritual perception comes to be. So, oh my. And it can hit pretty hard at the first. But thank God. Oh, thank God. You know, we get to that place where, oh, it dawns on us. Because we have that opportunity to give it all over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, the one who came to this world to seek and to save those that were lost. Oh, that's why he came, that we might have salvation. He came the first time to save us. And you know what? He's coming again. He's coming again. We can see all the signs right now. This time he's coming to judge this world in righteousness. He's coming back angry. Oh, he created this world. Oh, he put it all together. It was perfect at the first. But sin entered into the world, and all the curses. And oh my, since that moment, things have gone awry. That which was so beautiful and so perfect began to get specks all over the place. Oh, things begin to erode. Things begin to decay. Some things rotted. Some things rusted. You know, death came into the world all because of sin. And here we are. It's the end of the world, I believe, from everything I'm seeing. And our God's going to come back. This earth that he created, those heavens that he made, besides, they've been blemished. Oh, yes, by the act of sin. And oh my, you know, we know from what we read in the scripture. Oh, yes, so as God sees it all, and oh my, all at once this moment when he returns. And oh, it's going to be very observable. You know, every eye is going to see him when he comes back. They're all going to know. There's going to be a resurrection when he comes back. Oh, it's going to be, you know, very much known that he has come back as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords. He's not coming back as an infant child, you know, as a newborn babe. No, as an unknown. No, every eye is going to see him. And even they that pierced him and all kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of him. Oh, it's going to come so fiercely, so strongly. Oh my, when you see him, you're going to know who he is. You're going to know he's King of Kings. You're going to know he's Lord of Lords. And oh yes, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess at that time that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's going to be well known at that moment. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied of that moment. We have his prophecy there in Jude. And it tells us in the 14th verse here, Book of Jude, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Oh, what a moment. You know, God gave Enoch, you know, Enoch, such a man. He walked with God in such a way that God took him. Oh, yes, and God gave him that vision. He had this understanding that, oh, yes, there's this moment when he's going to come to this earth. Oh, yes, with the saints. Oh, the resurrection of the saints had comes at that moment, too, and all of this coming together. But, oh, yes, this time he's coming to bring forth judgment. And, oh, my, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Oh, my. That hardness of heart, you know, oh my, you know, you may just ignore conviction right now. You might not want to admit that there's a creator in this world who put this earth in orbit and made the heavens and the earth. But oh my, when he comes back, it's going to be so apparent. It's going to be so obvious, you know. Everybody's just going to know it. And oh my, oh, to be right with God. Oh, to have a heart that's been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. A heart that's been repentant and turned to God. Oh, for that moment, because oh my, it's going to mean everything to be right with God at such a moment. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he's coming back. You know, Peter described the moment that he came back, that he will come back. Here in 2 Peter, the third chapter, Peter wrote, he said in verse 9, he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I see that. That's the mind of the Lord. Yes, he doesn't want anybody to perish. You know, hell was originally made for the devil and his angels. It wasn't, you know, the hope of God that people would be cast into the lake of fire. And oh my, you know, it's gone on that there has been this rejection. People have ignored the call of God. They've ignored the need to repent and get right with God. And oh my, when it happens and it happens and it happens and it happens, there comes a point when it's too late. But the heart of God is, oh, his willingness that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, we cannot comprehend the love of God. Oh, it is so great. It is so beyond our understanding. That extension of mercy to all of us, that we might, oh, yes, get right with God. We might fear him and turn our hearts to the living God. But oh, yes, that day of the Lord, his return is described here in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. Oh, Peter wrote, he said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Well, it doesn't sound like much is going to be left, does it? With such an event. Everything in this world consists of elements. And if they're all consumed, if they're all burnt up, then I say it doesn't leave much. It doesn't leave anything, does it? So here we're told, verse 11 here, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Oh, yes, that fear of God in our hearts, knowing that, oh my, as loving as he is, as kind as he is, as gentle as he is, oh my, there's none like him. There's no one that could love us more than the Lord Jesus. Oh my, he loved us so much that he gave his life a ransom for us on the cross. And that cross, suspended between earth and heaven, he was taking our sins upon himself so that we might turn our lives over to the living God and be forgiven. Oh, praise the Lord. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would give his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus was doing on the cross. He was making a way of escape so we didn't have to be condemned. Oh, yes, verse 12 tells us here in 2 Peter chapter 3, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless," verse 13, "we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." And then he says in verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Oh, praise the Lord. That's the great desire of our hearts. We know that the day of the Lord will come. We know that, oh, there's going to be an end to this world. There's going to be an end to sin. Oh, yes, all the curses. All that which has happened because of sin. Here we are. Oh, such a polluted world as it is right now. Even a problem, I know. My son Samuel was writing in his last newsletter, you know, how even a problem with lack of topsoil is now a problem. That, you know, what do you do if there's not soil, you know? But oh yes, it's quite a moment when food that we grow in the earth doesn't have all the sustenance that it once had, all the vitamins and minerals and all the essential things for healthy life. Oh no, because this earth is polluted, it's decaying, it's, you know, it's coming to its final end. But praise the Lord, if we know the Lord, if we're walking with Him, we know that we have great hope in our hearts, because there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. It's coming. Oh, yes. It's going to come. Oh, my. And what a moment that will be. As, oh, yes. The end of things becomes obvious. But oh, what a moment it will be for those that are in the Lord Jesus and as well. Because we've come to Him in repentance and given our lives to the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we have that privilege to come to Him and receive of His great mercy and grace. Praise the Lord. So, yes, going back here to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Again, that question, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. And you know, deception is a big word that describes these times that we live in right now. You know, oh my. Deception is in a way we don't want to be. If you're deceived, you're not going to realize that you're deceived. But oh my, thank God, when we read the scripture, when the Lord talks to our hearts, we can realize, oh my, there's certain understanding that He will give us so we do not have to be deceived with so many that are under that condition. But He says, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And here He's coming against various sexual sins, and you know, different manners of such. And He's making it clear that in the mind of God, it's sin, and it's not allowed in the eyes of God. And then He goes on and He says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, no revilers. Oh, revilers are people that use abusive language and you know, comes with a spirit that's critical and you know, despisable and everything else. And then He talks about extortioners. Oh my, you know, I think sometimes this indeed does happen. There's a lot of things in high places that, you know, people try to conceal, try to hide, but, you know, an extortioner is one that uses one's position or power to take advantage of people in order to obtain property or funds or patronage or power or whatever is in the heart. And, boy, it's just clear in this 10th verse that kind of thing, you know, you might think you're doing it pretty well behind the scenes. You know, I think, you know, there's a bit of distrust in, you know, among, you know, politicians or our eyes, you know, of goings on behind the scenes, things that, you know, people try to cover up, but oh, it's all going to be clear in the eyes of God. It's all going to be exposed. And it's very clear, all of these things, anyone under those conditions shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's so clear here as it's described. And oh my, how we need to listen, you know. I just thank God for this little time, you know. This space we have to repent, to get right with God. How very valuable it is. Jesus told us the need to work while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work. And we're seeing it. All these things wrapping up. So it is. But, you know, we have just a little space right now. A little time to get right with God. Oh, yeah, to get rid of that sin. All these things that would hinder us from entering into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Oh my, such a privilege that we have right now. I'm so thankful. Our God is patient. Oh, he's waiting, you know. His mind, again, as we read, that, you know, his hope that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Praise the Lord. So God's great and wonderful mercy, you know, just to go to a place where it speaks of God's mercy. Psalms 103 here. It's so beautiful here as we talk of the mercy of the Lord here. It reads here, Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is great. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Characteristics of God. Isn't that beautiful? He's merciful. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. And he's plenteous in mercy. It tells us in verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Oh my, in other words, you know, to scold, you know, and even, you know, to argue, that's not what God wants to do. He doesn't want to keep his anger forever. And praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Praise the Lord. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Oh, thank the Lord for his mercy, for them that will turn their hearts over to the living God. Oh, yes, God is so willing to extend mercy, and there is none like his mercy. Tells us in Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Praise the Lord. Yes, again, that mercy that he gives us. You know, he could give us what we deserve. But mercy, oh, is God's way of, you know, once we turn it all over to him, forgiving us and not giving us those things that we could deserve otherwise. But praise the Lord, yes, you don't want to cover those sins. But praise the Lord, that opportunity to confess and forsake them, oh, that's when we find mercy. Praise the Lord. Oh, God's great mercy to his children is a beautiful thing indeed. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Amen. So, yes, he goes and says in verse 11 here in 1 Corinthians 6, speaking of all those characteristics which we read of in verses 9 and 10, he says, "And some were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." See, that's a beautiful thing when we obtain mercy. Oh, he washes our sins in the sea of his forgetfulness. That is such a beautiful thing. And yes, he sanctifies us. In other words, he makes us holy. In other words, holy means to be set apart. His own children, his sons, and his daughters. Praise the Lord. And been justified, made just in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, the gift of God. Yes, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know that the wages of sin is death. But praise the Lord, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As it tells us in Romans 6, chapter verse 23. Oh, that's the gift of our God. Praise the Lord. He takes us when we bow our knee and ask him to forgive us all those characteristics in our past. But praise the Lord, he knows how to make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I love 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Just read a verse here. Here it says in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Praise the Lord, that's the gift of God, taking us when we come to him in repentance, surrendering our will, our mind, emotions over to God, asking him to forgive us. Praise the Lord, he makes us new creatures in Christ. Those old things, those old characteristics in our life, those old sins are passed away and all things become new. Praise the Lord, that's our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So yes, there, this church at Corinth is being exhorted. You know, they all came out of the world. We were all back there at one point. We were all sinners. We all needed salvation. We all needed to come to the Lord. We all needed to be forgiven. But praise the Lord, oh, the gift of God. Praise the Lord that we could be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, that we could be sanctified, set apart, made his sons and his daughters, and justified, made just in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So then he goes on to say a bit more here in the 12th verse here in 1 Corinthians 6 here. He says in verse 12, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." And of course, with the new covenant, certain other consequences and certain other essentials under the old law were removed. We no longer have to come to the Lord and offer a sacrifice, an animal, to atone for sin. But Jesus Christ, he paid that so that he became the Lamb of God. Oh, sinless, blemishless, no sin or blemish in him. He became that lamb that took away the sin of the world so that we can come to him. So here it is, you know, Paul is saying, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient, or appropriate. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know, certain decisions that we make, we might, go and, oh my, that brownie tastes really good. You know, I think I'll just, I'll have one, I'll have two, I'll have three. Well, how about, a dozen of them, go ahead and do it. But, he didn't want to be brought under that bondage. He knew that there was a need to be temperate and not to let certain things control him. Like, you can get a hold of something and there's many addictions that can take a hold of a person and control a person and consume a person. But, Paul is really realizing that, I'm not going to be bringing my body under the power of any such thing. And then he says, meats for the belly and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. And, yes, we need food. And the word meats in the scripture refers to food. But, and we need a certain amount of food to, be sustained, to have energy, to go about and have energy to live. But, oh my, that's, not the big point here. There needs to be an allowance for temperance and letting the Lord moderate it and guide and direct it so that we just don't go about and do whatever comes to mind, in other words. And then he's going to cover another basis here. He says, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So here is this undercovering need here, fornication. And, fornication describes sexual sins before people are married. And anyway, it's kind of standard in this world that we live in today. There's a lot of it that goes on. But oh my, he's realizing here, he's describing, oh my, just our need to give everything over to the Lord and submit to him and, abstain from things that are wrong, that are not right in the eyes of God. Because when we come to the Lord, our body becomes the temple of the living God. In other words, he comes to dwell in our vessel, in our being. And oh, among that temple, we can't give heed to things that are wrong. We can't allow certain elements in our lives. So he explains, verse 14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. And what a thing to recognize our hope that is in the Lord. Oh, the one that died for us, the one that gave us hope. Paul wrote of it in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He talked about the resurrection from the dead. Well, just to read some of the portions of scripture here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 tells us, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Well, there was a rumor at that time. There were some that didn't want to go along with the certainty that Jesus had risen from the dead, that he was no longer in the grave, that he had come forth in victory, that he was no longer dead. Oh, it was a rumor even at that time. But he goes on to say in verse 13, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." And he goes on to say, verse 18, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Oh my, yes, that would be so sad. You know, if there was no hope, everything would be a vacuum. You know, we wouldn't have that kind of hope by any means. Life would be just empty. It would be void. There'd be nothing to look forward to. You know, we would live this life and then it would be over. It'd be hollow and nothing left. But oh, praise the Lord, there is something, oh, that the Lord has brought forth that we could have hope. Amen. He says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by men came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Praise the Lord. "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming." Praise the Lord. Oh, it's coming to pass. We have hope in this world. And oh, we know that it tells us in the 50th verse of 1 Corinthians 15, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass this saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what we can see by the grace of God. Oh, the wonder of it all, that he has made a way that we could be his sons and his daughters. Oh, yes, we would not know corruption, but oh, we would be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Praise our God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, yes, all of this comes to pass. And he says, verse 14, "And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And oh, yes, the mercies of God, oh, as he comes to pass to do his will. You know, all the things that, you know, people compromise and give to pass and you know, all of that that is in front of people. But our God does make a way. He makes us new creatures in Christ. Praise the Lord. Old things pass away and old things become new. Praise the Lord by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord Jesus. He says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And he increases here the need here. He says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And he explains in verses 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, he makes us a temple of the Holy Ghost. Oh, he works indeed in our very beings. Oh, yes, he makes us ministers. He makes a way that, oh my, we could go forth and do the will of God, that we could be new creatures in Christ Jesus. The old things pass away. The new things become new. Praise the Lord. We've been bought with a price. That price of his blood. That atonement that he paid for sin. Praise the Lord. Oh, that gift of God. And that privilege to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God for the gift of God. Thank you for the great, great privilege of serving our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for that work that he has done in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you for the opportunities that he's given us to give our lives over to the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This little time, this little space that we have, praise the Lord, that door is still open so that we can give it over to the living God. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for such moments. Thank you for your spirit that deals within our hearts. Oh, thank you, Lord, that he has taken us from the things of this world and brought us into heavenly places with the Lord Jesus. He's made us sons and daughters, given us such a privilege that, oh my, we might see his ways. We might walk with him. We might turn it over to the living God. Oh, thank you for such moments. Thank you for such a gift. Thank you for salvation. I pray that you'd work in hearts, that your will would be done, to speak to hearts. Oh, God, use it for your name's sake and for your glory. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for God. Oh, thank you for the presence of the Lord that deals with our hearts and makes a way of escape in this world. Thank our wonderful Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We can surrender to our God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our chorus books once again to number 42 and sing "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." Number 42. Thank you. Bye. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you. Thank you.